Captain's Log, Episode 99. This episode of the Beervengers podcast is sponsored by the Beer and Cheese Collective, located at 35-11 Ditmars Boulevard in Astoria, Queens. Enjoy their eclectic array of craft beer, artisanal cheeses, and specialty grocery items at the Beer and Cheese Collective. Home bar to yours truly, Captain Porter Brown Stout. On this installment, Captain Huck and Beer Wonder enjoy five pours while discussing desserts, Spain, bags of dicks, and on occasion, beer, and some of our favorite places to drink it. You know, it's what you've come to expect from us, including the occasionally unexpected. Remember to like, star, and subscribe whenever that feels appropriate, and send us your emails at thebeervengers@gmail.com if you have any questions, suggestions, or if you just like hearing us talk about you on the show. And now, without further ado, please enjoy episode 99, Beervengers AF.
Oh, we're the Beervengers. We're the Beervengers.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Beercast, everyone. Coming to you from an undisclosed location in Astoria, Queens. I am Captain Porter Brown Stout.
And coming to you from an undisclosed location in Fresno, California, this is the Pale Male, Hophead Huck.
And coming to you from an undisclosed location in the County of Kings, why, it is I, the Beer Wonder.
And we are... Yeah, that's right. We're the Beervengers. You're the Beervengers. Welcome, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. You know, best one ever, don't you think?
Yeah, tops.
Absolutely.
I would say it would be in the top 99. I'll put it that way. The top 99.
Yes, definitely, for sure. Well, it's been a while since we've rapped at you, as they say.
Oh,
I don't know if anyone still says that, but...
I say it.
All right. Been a long time since we've rapped at you then. We'll keep that. We'll do that from now on.
Yeah.
Or not, depending on what the mood is, because we're not terribly consistent.
No.
I mean, sometimes, except about being inconsistent. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back. How you guys been?
Oh, great.
Oh, just peachy. Just a spring forward and a rainy March coming in like a lion, hopefully going out like a lamb.
Yeah, I can tell you're not fooling. Yeah.
Going out like a wet lamb, yeah.
Yeah, it's drenchy here in the Gotham City.
Gloomy here in Fresno, and because you should have daylight for a little while longer, but I'm not getting any sunlight.
Well, then I can't think of any better way to liven things up than let's get to the pours, right, guys?
Always good to drink beer. That's where we're consistent.
We are. And I feel like a wet March, given that we are kind of at the end of March, or if you're listening, it'll be in April. It, you know, you want something damp, and thus beer brings dampness.
It's unlikely they'll hear it before April because we're releasing this episode on April 1st.
Oh, okay. We are. Yeah. Or are we?
Or are we? Yes, that's the big question. It'll be at least April 1st. Which you know because you're listening to this and you're saying, well, wait a minute, it's not March, is it? No, it's not. It's April where you are.
The people are confused and I like it. I like keeping them a little unsure of what's going to happen. And I feel like that is kind of the vibe of this podcast.
It is. Especially because we got, I sort of landed the perfect segue to the pours and we still haven't gotten to them yet.
I know.
I know why we haven't gotten to them.
Why, Huck? Why?
Because we have, as always, we did not decide who's going first.
Oh gosh.
Oh no. That's always the arbiter. That is the realm. Oh, that was a. Oh, no. I can say that. That was the word today. That is the realm of the Beer Wonder.
Now we know.
That is. It is my role. My role in this triumvirate. This trio of goodness. I'm going to stop with the big words.
You got some good vocab words.
Yeah. I know. I guess I was studying for an SAT that I didn't realize I was taking. Who knows? I feel like, Captain, we haven't had you start in a bit.
Oh, you want me to start? Oh, wow.
I just feel like it would be polite because we haven't had you start in a moment. You know, usually we're giving it to Huck. Usually it's me. But we haven't heard from you at the beginning in a moment. It would only be
great,
polite.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any empirical data on that, so I'm going to resort, like many people do, to anecdotal, non-scientific evidence. And the fact that I responded with such surprise indicates to me that you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to everyone's expectations, I indeed have a
sponsored pour.
No way.
Sponsored. I do. It's a sponsored pour from the Beer and Cheese Collective at 35-11 Ditmars Boulevard in Astoria, Queens. By the way,
we know them
from a wonderful, wonderful pairing from Wild East there. But this beer is not from Wild East. This is from Tim. No. See, now I'm confused. It looks like it's Timber Ales. It is Timber Ales. It's a collaboration. Well, just because their logo is very Timber Ales. And then suddenly the first one I saw here was Schenker Beer Company.
Oh, okay.
And so this, clearly I've done my homework on this one since I'm just figuring this out now. This is a collaboration between Timber Ales and Schenker Beer Company, and it is called Chasing Shadows.
Oh, fancy.
An Imperial Stout aged in vanilla beans and cocoa nibs. And due to my eyes and the lighting here, I can't quite tell the ABV, but I'll get to that eventually.
I just realized we should have always had like a sound bite for this. Collab!
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I will.
Pretty good.
We can set that aside and I can hit that button whenever that happens again. All right, a collab.
Oh my God.
All right. There's that.
What is happening? What is happening?
I really don't know.
We're pouring a beer.
Good. Thank goodness. All right. What you got?
There we go.
I'm seeing some real dark. Oh, nice head rolling up there.
Yeah, you can really see it up the sides.
A lot of fine carbonation going on in there.
That is some fine carbonation.
And a really nice, subtle but healthy head.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Caramely. Nice brown head there. Excellent. Now what do we do?
I don't know. This is where it gets hard. I think it would only make sense for the captain to choose next.
All right. Well, then since we can keep it up with I was going to go in age order, but then I think I'm the middle child there. So I'm going to but I think it would be disrespect to our elders not to let Huck go next.
That is true. That is absolutely correct. Oh.
Well, I have a can
who
of
is
beer.
She?
Check out that logo. That's cool, right?
That I don't even know who she is, but I like her. She has got dripping blood out of her eyes. She's got some sort of like snake thing on her head. Is that what's going
skull
on?
Guy. Yeah, a little devil. Skull. Okay. Or like one of those like Silence of the Lambs bit. This is a beer called Secret. It is a Czech style dark lager from our friends at Wayfinder Brewing, a lager centric brewery. Out of Portland, Oregon. That's right. I have to go out of state now to find new breweries. I've had a few Wayfinders, though. Our friends at Spokeasy have had a couple of them in-house. Ow. Ow, ow. I'm having a hard time with my can. Ow.
It's a tricky.
I know. It can be hard. It can be very difficult.
People might not know this about me, but I have nubs for fingernails because I trim them constantly. Anytime there's any kind of growth, I'm like, I have to get it's an obsessive problem. But so sometimes it's hard for me to open a can. Wow, getting TMI here. Got my nice,
I know, we're really getting deep.
Beer glass. Let's take a look. This is Czech style dark lager from Wayfinder Brewing.
Love secrets. It. Oh, wow, secrets. So many secrets. Yeah.
It's also nice dark beer.
Yeah, looking good.
Secrets.
Ooh, it's pretty. Get that can up there so we can see the darkness of the. We can see the darkness of the lady next to the darkness of the beer. It's dark. Yeah. They're all dark.
Good lighting for this.
Secret. I've got a secret. Just had a flashback to Mike Birch karaoke face off. That was a comic I used to see who would do these. Anyway, yeah.
Very good. All right, so that makes it easy to say, please. Beer Wonder, what do you have for us?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the thing, folks. I know on this fine evening of beer drinking with this gentle crew of beer defenders, I will be drinking a
sponsored pour.
Another sponsored pour. Of course you do. Well, I'm really excited about that. What do you got, Beer Wonder?
I know. Well, this is from a brewery called Half Acre. Mm-hmm. It is their Tend, and it is a winter IPA. Now, here's the thing. It does feel like we are at the end of our winter season. Yeah. You know, because we're in the cherry blossoms are starting to bloom in Gotham. There was an article on Gothamist about where to find the cherry blossoms without having to pay an admission fee, which is always helpful. So I feel like we had to get this one taken care of while we were still like close enough to a winter to drink a winter IPA. Also because it looks delicious. So let's take a crack at this one and see what's going on.
Ooh, that really wanted to get out of the can there.
Oh, it is bubbling real, real intensely.
It's eager and anxious, champing at the tit.
Yeasting out.
Oh, yeah. Hold that up a little higher. Let's see that. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's dark. Nice. So that's like a double, you say?
It looks like it's just a single. It's propping it around the 6 to 7 mark. Oh, so, right. You know, on the road to goodness, it is a Chicago-based brewery.
Right. I know about Half Acre. Yeah.
So they, 6.8 is what they say on this one. Mm-hmm. Real nice, real real resiny, getting all the things I'm looking for.
Got it.
So, alrighty, gents, let's do this thing. Avengers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, Avengers.
Well, that's very nice. I did find out that this is indeed a 12%.
Oh, gosh. My goodness.
So. Perfect for a nice, unseasonably chilly spring evening.
Yeah, yeah. Given that those sort of winter vibes. So what's if you were going to flavor profile, if you were going to turn this into a cookie, what would be in that cookie?
If I turn it into a cookie.
See, I just got all my Girl Scout cookie deliveries too, which also Girl Scout cookie and beer pairing we should discuss because I think there are important notes to be considered in that. But if you were going to make this a cookie, what would it be?
Oh, let's see. It would, I mean, chocolate for sure.
Okay.
I mean, and I guess most cookies do have that kind of vanilla flavoring in there as well. Mm-hmm. It would, I think, I don't know if it would be the cookie, but I think it would go very well with a chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, so the like dark, intense chocolatiness.
Yeah, really dark, intense, I think would go very well with it. So yeah, it's hard. I'm not a huge cookie person.
Okay.
But I think I would very much enjoy that combination. Mm. Just maybe some nice like dark fudge.
Okay. Not a huge cookie. Are you a cake person? We've never had this. We don't do sweet together. I feel like anytime I am out with you, we're having something like savory. We're having olives or cheese or a sandwich or tacos.
That's true.
Like that.
I mean, I would say with beer bars and breweries, that's kind of more what they go to. I can't think of a.
Yeah.
All right, so let's make this. This is a challenge to the breweries out there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can if you want to come up with. Actually, this is a great segue. Well, when we're done with the tasting notes, I have a single cut event that I went to recently that I need to talk about. But you guys talk about your beers first.
Well, I will. In terms of sweet pairings, I do want to call out our friends at Big Alice, who I did once have a Halloween candy and beer pairing that they put together, which was surprising and very good. Mm. But that's, you know, that's a very specific thing, right? Halloween candy.
Right.
I'm sure they were also doing it so that if you had a tiny human with you, there was like some candy for the kid. But they had a whole flight with a whole candy flight along with it, and they had recommended pairings with all them. It was good.
Oh, cool.
If I was turning this into a cookie, there would be some caramel in it because it does kind of have that like baked, toasty kind of thing. There's like a I don't know, wood, cords of wood kind of feel to it. Mm. It's got Mosaic and Simcoe in there, so there is a little bit of pine for sure. But there's also like, I don't know, there's like almost like a citrus kind of thing. More like, I don't know, it's not grapefruit. It's like orange peel, I guess I'd probably throw in there.
Right on.
Yeah. So it's got that like peel, like that intense citrusy kind of like bitterness that you can get sprayed at you a little bit. Apparently they say there's supposed to be a smoky element to it. Not really getting the smoky element, but that said, it does have that like warm you up, drink this by a fire, pine trees, and maybe think future thoughts about the citrus that will be coming your way while being sprayed by a little bit of the like bitterness that comes out of the rind. All in all, a delight, a really good winter time IPA for those people who, for some reason, think that you can't drink IPAs all year round.
Yeah.
This,
yeah,
this may not count as a cookie, but I think if you're looking at the, like, the breadiness as well as the caramel, mm-hmm. a Twix bar.
For you, okay. Or for me?
I'm saying for you. I think that, like, could, you're talking about, like, you said you thought caramel would be good.
Yeah.
But I also thought the breadiness you were talking about.
Yeah. I could do Twix.
Would go there, yeah.
It would be like a Twix bar with like a dehydrated, like the innards of a Twix with a dehydrated orange on top of it. So, like, wow. No chocolate. Just with, like, take the chocolate off the Twix bar, put the dehydrated orange on top of it, and I think we're good to go. It's some, like, Bushwick hipster nonsense, and if you know me, I am fully here for that. So,
that's but funny. Anyway,
yep. All right. Well, Huck, I've started this unfortunate cookie trend,
and
I'm
talked over
you
a couple of times. So talk about your.
No, not at all. Not at all.
You need to finish it.
I have the Czech Dock Lager, and, you know, it's dark. It's got notes of dark fruit. And, you know, my mother used to make a cookie. It was like a molasses cookie. And I forget what she called them. My sister would know, but it just was brought to mind with this cookie discussion. And they were, like, shaped like pine trees, but they had a real, like, molasses-y bite to them.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
She called them, like, pine tree cookies or something. But I liked them a lot, and you have the cookie day at school. I don't know when we would do this, like Christmas, I guess. So you bring your cookie from home, and then you would exchange cookies with all your classmates. So you'd go around to all the table, they would pass out your cookie, and people were like, "Oh, I love this cookie." So when it came to my cookies, people would be like, "No, I'm good."
Wow. So you got to keep all of them.
Oh, yeah. But it was kind of humiliating. Like,
sure.
No.
I mean, I was that kid, you know. I don't know if you guys were that kid or not, but I was that kid that people didn't
I'm
like.
I'm still that kid whenever I share my balls with everyone.
Oh. Well,
you like to share you share your balls everywhere. But here's the thing. Everybody likes your balls, Captain. Everybody likes your balls. And if they don't, shame on them.
Yes, I know they do, but I'm still that needy, emotional little kid that Huck was just talking about. I'm still enough of that person that I still wait for people to, I'm waiting for the compliments, waiting for the talk. Yeah. Even though I know everyone loves them, I still really need to hear them.
Well,
I'm like that with pretty much everything. So,
yeah. Well, is this beer reminds you of those cookies? Or was it just a cookie memory that was sparked?
It's that they remind me. It's that I think it would be a good pairing. It would be a good pairing.
Okay.
With the if I had those pine tree cookies, it'd be a good pairing with the with this Czech Dark Lager. I'm not in love with it.
Okay.
But it's not bad. And I've had other I had a Wayfinder Vienna Lager recently that I really enjoyed. So I don't know. It's fine.
All right. No, I mean, we're honest here. Yeah. We don't.
I'm not going to get into a Twitter war with the fine folks at Wayfinder. I really would like to go there. They have a lot of different lagers to try. So,
Huck, remind me which brewery you're in a silent war with. Every time you've had them on the show, you've hated their beers.
Bottle Logic. Oh, no, I don't have one in the fridge. But I had a couple recently because Sarah Zahn brought a couple over to the house.
Oh, nice.
They were fruited sours. They were good. I enjoyed them, and I've had a few now that I've liked from Bottle Logic. But
okay, yeah, thank goodness.
It's a fake war because they don't care, and I don't really hate them, so it's fine.
Well, I feel that your running theme has not been that their beer is bad, but it has been like it's overhyped and overpriced.
Right. Well, I never bring in the bottles, the $27 bottles.
Right.
Maybe I should do that on the pod.
That seems excessive.
Well, I've done that.
We got a big show coming up, so
that's true. That is true.
That might be the time for it. Yeah, it's a couple more thoughts on cookies. you're talking about your mother's wonderful pine tree cookies. Reminded me of one of my favorite cookies my mother used to make me, and it was just called ginger molasses cookies.
Oh, okay, it sounds like the same thing. Yeah,
and the appearance of them, except these were just shaped like round like cookies. But it's sort of like. They were a little like they look kind of like ginger snaps, but they had like sort of more of a soft feel to them. And I would always eat too many of them.
Mm. Oh. I do like a bendy ginger snap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice and
but
bendy.
that kind of sort of takes away the name.
The snap, yeah.
They don't snap.
Right, yeah. It is a contradiction. It's a challenge. You have to get over it in your head.
Well, tying back to the Girl Scout cookies,
yes.
I was at South of Shaw Brewing, which
okay, we've been to.
With mm-hmm. the pizza
yep.
On Saturday, and ooh. They were doing a Girl Scout cookie pairing flight.
Well, look at that. What did you have? Did you have any pairings that you were particularly fond of?
I didn't do it, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there you go. That'll do it. Well, so I got, with the Girl Scout cookies, though, I know.
Rye guy did it, and I did taste a little bit of the cookies. One was paired with a Mexican lager. I mean, I think they were kind of reaching a little bit.
Sure.
They had one stout, and I was like, yeah, they all go with the stout.
Well, yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, yeah. I will say I have tried just recently. I branched out in my cookie joy with the Girl Scouts, and I did get their one gluten-free one, their Toffee-tastic. And that one actually would be very nice with this IPA. I think would be the one I would pair because it's kind of like a buttery cookie, so it's got kind of like a Christmas in there. But the toffee, I think, would be nice to sort of play off of the bitterness. I think that would be kind of a lovely little situation.
By the way, I love cookies and cake and pie and I mean, I really, really like desserts. I really do. And I try to avoid them as much as I can.
As one should.
Because I mean, I get deep. If there's a pie in the house, I'm like, well, I mean, I had half a slice, or I might as well have the other half. That's always my thing. Like, I'll go and I'll have half the cookie, and then you're like, well, this other half is here. Oh, donuts is another one.
Mm.
Like, oh my God, I can't get enough. Like, like people get like do drugs, right? Cocaine, heroin. I'm like, I see that box of donuts. I have to like kind of sit still and be like, I had two already. I already had two. You don't need to have more.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to break off a piece.
No, just a little piece. Oh, but now I'll break off another piece. Oh, then there's only a little bit left. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm bad. I'm bad. I just got to keep it out of the house.
I'm the same way with leftovers. Any leftovers, like I'll bring it home. I'm like, I'm gonna save this, have it tomorrow. And at some point or another, I'm just going back to the fridge. and.
You got to have leftovers when they're fresh. It's just,
that is true. Know. That is very true.
And any more thoughts on desserts, Huck? Cause I've got a couple, for myself,
please.
So this past month, since we haven't talked to you since February.
Yeah.
We totally didn't get a chance to plug, Eat in Queens.
The
yearly thing, second year that they've done it through Queens Together, which is this thing that helps, food neediness and that sort of thing. It's all run by local restaurants and bars and breweries. I went to with the Belgian Babe a couple weeks ago was the, it's a French place called Chez Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
Had some wonderful beef bourguignon and she had bronzino and we finished off the evening with some chocolate lava cake. And I think this beer would go very well with that.
Ooh.
One. The other thing I had was last weekend, Single Cut did a great thing that they've done a couple years. Last year, I think I actually might have given Dan a hard time when we had him on the show because I didn't mean to. I was trying to just give a suggestion, but every time I give a suggestion, I'm like, you're just so fucking annoying. Why are you bothering them? But last year they did this thing and all it said on their website, starting at 1:00. So it looks like it went all day. So I went after work and they said, oh, no, yeah, I know. We finished that. And this year they actually did say on the website 1 to 6. So I don't know if that was my influence or not. Or if they just thought, well, that we should tell people when it's over. But they had this thing that was called there's Après Ski, snow and stout and thing. And they had these like cards where you're filling it out and you're putting together these like beer dessert things. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're like checking boxes and they had 4 different stouts and they had like gelato and various spices and, not spices, but so I wound up checking the Heavy Boots of Lead, chocolate gelato, and then I had I think I had some, what's it called?
There's nutmeg in here.
Yeah, I had some nutmeg on it. I had some like cocoa powder, and there was another one. It was really very, very good. So I'm glad I made it to the single cut Opry Snow and Ski and Stout or whatever.
Love it.
Yeah, it was nice.
Interestingly enough, I don't really like to pair beer with my desserts.
Yeah.
It's just not, it just doesn't cross my mind to do that. Beer to me is something you drink with savory food. You know, obviously that's just me.
Yes.
You know, you can definitely pair beer with desserts. It's a thing. But it just doesn't cross my mind to do that.
Well, I mean, clearly that's something we need to encourage people more to, like, okay. Anytime it's like, I don't think that's a thing, but change my mind. And then they will come up with some wonderful things and we'll say, like, my favorite thing is beer with desserts.
Hey, you know.
It could happen. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love beer. I can definitely tell you that.
If you didn't, I'd be worried about this beer cast.
But you also went on sort of an extended, excited rant about how much you love desserts too. So
God,
if we can figure out how to make you like bring those together, I mean,
unstoppable.
You'd be in full blown ecstasy.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
You'd be you'd be having spontaneous orgasms. Well, maybe
Maybe
you don't want to go that exciting. Far.
Yeah. Like cake. You ever go to like a wedding, you know, and you have the cake?
I have been to a wedding and I've had a cake, yes.
Oh my God. And then there's always a couple extra slices hanging around.
I know.
When people don't eat their slices. Well, this tier is chocolate and this tier is vanilla.
Oh,
well, you got to have at least a little taste of each one.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Our theme today is overindulgence. Overindulgence.
Yeah. I guess our theme today is cookies and cake, I guess.
And beer. Oh, we're all
and beer. And all will always beer. Exactly.
Still on the beer. Well, I know that we've been doing some of us have been traveling the world, I hear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to do my Jay Leno set. So I heard somewhere that you've been traveling. What have you been traveling around?
You got a big stack of blue cards there, Huck?
It says here that you've been doing some traveling. You went to another country, Europe, was it? Somewhere in the... Where'd you?
We're talking to Beer Wonder.
I like your Leno.
Your Leno was actually quite good. Yeah,
it started to get like a Maury Amsterdam near the end.
That was a journey.
That was pretty fun.
tell us something about your bendy wonder.
Yeah. Well, yes, as the gentlemen are mentioning, I did do some traveling. I took a little a long anticipated trip to España. Also known as Spain. And one of the things that was, of course, important in beer travel, as we all know, is to ensure that you're supporting your local brewery scene. And so when I think about Spanish beers, I mean, most of what we think of, right, is a cerveza kind of thing, right? Like a light.
Sure, yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, like a hydrating.
Like a Corona or
yeah.
A Modelo or, yeah, we're talking like a Mexican lager.
Yeah, so something like
a lot of Spanish even brands.
Though that is an entirely different country, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of like, it's a light beer, it's a crisp beer. It's the kind of thing that, you know, people would always say, oh, you're thirsty, you should have a beer, as opposed to water, right? It's sort of like the hydrating option. However, there is apparently a rather growing craft beer, like American style craft beer scene in Madrid specifically. And I did wind up going to one of the craft beer bars that I was able to find in an area called La Latida, which is sort of like a historic neighborhood. It's the historic core. It's kind of close to like the tourist downtown area, but it's kind of cute and windy streets and stuff. And it was the sort of like craft beer bar offshoot of a brewery named Oso, or the Bear, which is connected to the history of Madrid. And the little bar that they have, the little offshoot they have there is La Osita, or the Little Bear. And I got in and they had a whole selection of their stuff as well as a couple other Madrid-based breweries. I wanted to go ahead and drink, you know, Oso beer because it was their space and I wanted to like learn about their thing. And I actually wound up chatting up the proprietor who I believe was one of the brewers, spoke incredible English and was really chatty. But what was kind of fun is that everybody there was not a Spaniard. Everybody in the place besides the guy behind the bar was, there were people from New Jersey. We've met people from Texas. We met people from Ireland. We met people from, England, we met people from Germany, like all these people sort of had come to like check out what the craft beer scene was all about. So I did kind of ask, like, do you guys get Spaniards here? And apparently the answer is, yeah, it's just that we were there too early. So had we shown up a little bit later, people would have been drinking. It would have been more Spaniards. And I was like, so how do you get, because one of the things on their draft, they had some good looking dark beers, some like, they had like a candy cane style, like really dark, intense.
They didn't actually put a candy cane in it, did they?
There was no candy cane in it. No, we know we know that doesn't work out so well.
It's not a good idea.
Yeah. they had a pudding style chocolate stout. They had a bunch of Pilsners, and I had their New England style IPA and their American Pale Ale take. But of their beers that were on the board, four of them would fall into the like APA IPA style. So they're really trying to like hit that kind of style. And so that apparently the one that I had, the APA, is one of the ones that if a Spaniard who is used to drinking cervezas comes in, you know, like light cervezas, and wants to try something, that's the beer that they'll give them. And it was certainly on the way to being like an American Pale Ale, but I could see how this would be a great starter beer for somebody who had been drinking cervezas the whole time they were there. It was quite good. We had met a lot of really cool people, had a lot of really interesting beers, learned a ton about the beer scene. Apparently there's lots of nomadic breweries there. They don't really have a lot of space. Oso is just opening up their first like permanent space pretty soon. But it's a growing scene. And when I asked some people to describe where it sits in the American scene, they basically said like it's 5 years behind. And honestly, that would make sense based on what
I drank. That's not too far.
No. They're doing good, cool stuff. It's just, it's the culture around beer there is different than the culture around beer here.
Sure.
And so it was kind of cool to see those things put together. Also, they gave you free snacks, which I know is a very Spanish thing, but I didn't get a lot of free snacks while I was there. But they gave us a thing of olives, some bread, and some little sliced cured meats, like salami kind of things.
Like really delicious.
Yeah, basically. Well, yeah, tapas, you know, Spanish.
Okay.
Lo gusto.
Yeah, it was quite good. So highly recommended. La Osita. Go support your local breweries, even if they're in Spain, I guess. And it was really fun.
What do you mean, even if? Absolutely, because it's in Spain.
Of course.
The craft, there is the craft brew movement knows no borders. It's global.
That is true. And literally, I mean, one of the cool things that I thought was neat about it was literally bringing people from all around the world together. I mean, there were people from Jersey there. There were people from Texas there, sure. But also there were Germans. There were people from England. There were people from Ireland. Like, and everybody was hanging out, having a beer, checking out what these people were doing, drinking, chatting in English, you know. But still, it was like the whole, this little, like, people were coming together over beer on an international scale. And everybody was just happy to be talking to someone about beer, which is the coolest thing, right? It's just very cool.
Yeah, Madrid for me is like, I already have places picked out for food.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You have good food when you were there? Or
yes, I mean, lots of good tapas. I had a little bit more interesting, unique stuff in Barcelona. Yeah.
Barcelona, okay.
In Barcelona, really hit a lot of the unique stuff in terms of food. There were a number of just incredible tapas places. And that was sort of like the entry point was tapas sort of at the beginning of everything. It was pretty incredible. The jamon, leg thing, outstanding. I wish I had taken more time to figure out all the differences of the different kinds you can get. I didn't actually spend that much time. I just ate a lot of it. I think I had it every single day because it was so good.
Really?
Unfortunately, it is apparently illegal to bring it back to the United States in your luggage. I didn't try.
No jamon.
Yeah.
Or the ham or the beer?
The ham, because it's considered an agricultural product.
Yes.
Even though it's cured. Okay. So, because otherwise I would have brought like a whole leg back so we could just have jamon and drink our IPA, our American style IPAs.
Yeah.
Make it all happen. So, shout out to La Osita.
Now, how many days were you there?
In
Spain.
In España. I think it was 8. Yes,
oh, fantastic. And you were you with other Beer Avengers?
I was with two other folks who are not fully fledged Beer Avengers. Am I allowed to say other people's names on this thing? Yeah, we are, right?
Yeah. It's up to you.
I mean, it's up to you. They're your friends.
Rudy and Robbie, who you may know
Rudy
from.
Rudy and Robbie,
You know Robbie from Who Wrote This Shit. And so we had been sort of going on. We'd been planning this adventure for a while. It all kind of landed beautifully. And while they're not huge beer people, they certainly indulged all of my beer misadventuring.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So
I'm gonna say it here first because we haven't said this publicly before.
I'm calling it.
I think our next Beervenger trip has to be to Spain.
I agree.
And clearly, Beer Wonder has to be our guide.
Bro, I'm down.
I am not the person. I will say I do not speak Spanish at all. Well, I can gracias real hard. That's about it.
My Spanish is okay.
See? But honestly, I was going to say, Huck, I think you're going to be, well, you're in a place where more Spanish is spoken regularly.
Also, if we're going, I'm going to study.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might download a little Duolingo there or something.
Yeah. Well, but stateside, I know there's been some important research done, yes?
Oh, you're not talking to me. Okay.
Before we get into that.
I really want to mention that you're talking about like going to this bar and everyone there's Americans. That actually flashes me back to when I was in Rome in 2017. Yeah, 2017. Mm. And I first found my first BrewDog pub. Mm. And similar situation. I mean, they had their BrewDog taps, they had some local Italian taps, and everyone in the place was American.
Yeah.
But it was also like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
So I think that's why definitely when we were in Florence a couple days later and stumbled into a BrewDog pub there, there were more locals there. But it was and speaking of BrewDog, I'm reminded back to our last episode where two episodes ago, I think, when we had the Brewbador, the newly named Brewbador on there, told the great story about going to the doghouse, the BrewDog hotel in Columbus. And I gotta say that the Brewbador is really embracing his Brewbador identity.
Yeah, if you are not following him on the social medias, you should be.
By the way, I just want to interject because I know, you know, it's a beer podcast and all that.
Sure.
I'm just so excited about my second beer that I want to start drinking it.
Well, sure. Go ahead and do that. And
we're going to talk about the Brewbador, I promise.
All right. And then I'll get on to my second pour, too. But I'm not going to go get it until I tell the story. But okay.
Oh, it's so pretty.
This beer is from a little place called Brooklyn.
Oh, wow. Grim. Coming home.
This is the Grim Maypole. It's their yearly Maybach.
Maybach.
I'm too excited about this. Like, is it going to be as good as I remember? We're going to try it. I love their Maybach. I love their lagers. I'm so glad that...
That is a pretty looking beer right there.
I'm so glad that they carry so much Grim over at Spokeasy. Let me get the can up. And I love this Maypole. Maybach is a... Look at my face in there somewhere. There I am.
It's a pretty beer. And honestly, I feel like we are still a little early in Maytime-y for my
box. I know, but it is spring.
Spring is springing. It is not sprung. It needs to decide what it wants to do with itself, but.
It's good.
Of course it's good. Grim does a good beer. They do a good Maybach. Not your Bach, but Maybach.
It's got a little bit of a kick to it, like a alcohol kick. It's nice.
That's the good.
I do
right
believe
there.
It is. Well, it's 6.3. Does it say 6.5? Just proper for a Maybach. Yeah, love getting more Grim in my life. Had another great Grim beer the other night, but I know we have other things to get to. And I think we're gonna take a little journey right now.
Before we get to the journey, I do want to finish just because real quick. About the Brewbador. I wanted to talk about his story. So you know how every time we release an episode, almost every time, I put these things on where I put all our pour picks on and I find something to score it with on Instagram.
Right, yeah.
Well, the Brewbador has started doing sort of his own live version of that where he holds a beer and sings a song that inspires him by the thing that is appropriate to the beer. And well, so I don't know if he sees our Instagram stories, but I love that it's just a sort of perfectly dovetailing with that.
That's outstanding.
And so thank you, Brubador. I know. And also, he just got cast in a show.
Congratulations.
And I don't remember what it is, but go look at his stuff on Instagram or anywhere of the socials if you want to see that, whether it's Brubador, Mark Aldrich or something. But all right, Huck is very excited for me because while he was pouring his Maybach, I just took a trip to a very special place.
Oh, so special.
Talk about the captain's cellar, yeah. Come high water or hell, yeah. Famous stouts and porters made with bricks and mortars. Going to the captain's cellar, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, that was some Brubadoring wasn't it?
That was live. That was live, as you could tell by the screw-ups.
It was, and that's what makes it special.
Exactly.
All right, so this is where
we're going to the captain's cellar is what I'm trying to say.
I just went down to the captain's cellar because, you know, every time I stock up on things for Stoutapalooza, there's always some stuff left over, and I need to sort of keep cleaning out that cellar before I fill it up again. And this is one from a brewery that I know that Huck is fond of, Smog City.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I can only assume that the name of this beer is inspired by the old Rocky and Bullwinkle thing. When, you know, you'd have Boris Badenov and Natasha, and they'd be trying to plant a bomb somewhere and like giving a present. It'd be making this noise and they would just say, "He's ticking clock." That's the name of the beer. He's ticking clock. You have to say
clock
with a Russian accent, I think.
You must. You must.
And this is a bourbon barrel-aged imperial porter with coconut and coffee. Huh. And it is a robust 10.5%.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That's incredible. Wow.
And I should have been doing this part while you were, because it's got one of those great little wax tops on it.
Oh, yeah.
I should have been doing that while you were singing the song.
That reeks of effort.
All this time, I still haven't learned that.
Smog City is a great brewery. I have one of their coffee porters in the fridge. I think I exposed you all to that when you came out. We had a coffee porter together.
I think so. Yes, I think we did. That was good.
One of my favorite coffee, and this has coffee in it. Mm-hmm. So my expectations of this one, I'm jealous now because I want this beer.
I'm just going to do the whole rest of the episode with a cheesy Russian accent.
Yes, I think that feels correct.
I'm trying to open this beer. They have another stout. It comes in a bottle like that. They call it The Nothing.
The Nothing.
That's a cool name, too.
But they make great.
Yeah, they're one of my top breweries. I'd say, like, in California, they're right up there for me. You know, we got Moonlight, Russian River, Smog City. Who else do I like? That's it. Just those three.
I always think it's a good idea to bring one of these beers on the show, and then I always forget how long it takes me to figure this out. But longtime listeners are probably enjoy the ritual.
They do. They always do. And if they don't, that's their problem.
And so where else did you go in Spain?
Let's talk about that.
Yes, we'll talk about that. Barcelona, Madrid, and Sevilla.
I was going to say Sevilla. And I know we're talking about beer. You must have had some good wine while you were there, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the wine is so cheap. I got a bottle of, a cava, like a champagne kind of thing, that here probably would have cost, like, $20 for €3.
You know, really? €3?
€3. Yep. You know, I was I was rolling hot, rolling big.
Okay. Está abierto.
Yes.
Abierto. I screwed it up. Sorry.
Captain's going to pour his beer.
It's open, I said.
Yeah.
You could have kept going, but I just like, yes, it is off. And you probably recognize this because this reminds me of, since we're talking about our wonderful trips with all our Beer Avengers trips, this is one from our last trip. It looks probably familiar. From what's the name of that brewery?
With the twisty houses. Yes, I can't remember what it was, but that was one of the last places we went. It was so much fun.
Uncle Ed had just had the shirt on the other day, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I remember we went there." It's a good looking pour.
Perfect glass.
It's a beautiful pour.
It fits almost entirely.
Wow.
It goes right to that. right to that official half-liter mark that all these German signs have.
And it's a nice light head there. So we're going to expect some real darkness. It is ticking clock.
It's ticking clock. All right, I'll take a sip of it, and we can talk more about Spain.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to remember the name of that brewery. It is going to bother me, but yeah, talk amongst yourselves. Spain. Do we have any good seafood while we were there?
Oh yeah, paella, all the good stuff.
You had some paella?
Oh yeah, especially in Barcelona.
Kuchelbauer.
That was it.
On the glass, so I that cheated.
Ah, you son of a biscuit.
Yeah, I know. Suck my dick.
Whoa.
I should say that in Russian.
That escalated.
Suck my dick. It's good.
Suck one dick. One or me.
Suck a bag of dicks.
Or whole bag.
Full collection.
Do full bag.
Full bag. Suck full bag of dicks.
Take each one out individually. Suck and put back. Take next one. Suck, put back. Take next.
So this is, sounds like a process. This is a lot of work.
Yes. Oh, yes. This is why we say do it, because we are insulting you, making you do this. Because if dicks are in bag, no, that's not a live person. Dick.
No. And these and are they're dead. Unless they're like dead. unless they are stuffed dicks, they are disembodied dicks, and therefore they are flaccid dicks. Who wants to suck a bag of flaccid dicks?
Oh, not pleasant.
Are they gummy? This sounds like they're gummy.
You see, because the gummies, you'd be like, oh, this tastes good.
Yeah.
Flaccid.
I think maybe dicks. Maybe the expression is eat a bag of dicks. And if there are gummies, you know, that would, anyway.
Like, oh, thank you. Thank you. These are delicious. Yes. Appreciate it.
Yes. Oh, thank you for the bag of dicks. I'm enjoying eating them. Anywho, I don't know where we go from there.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, I was not in the States. So somebody had to be holding down American beer culture while I was experimenting with the Spanish beer culture.
I got to tell you, I've been drinking so many good beers lately.
I'm proud of you.
And you know what's funny? They've been coming from New York.
Oh.
That's the concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
There's nothing you can't do.
Two breweries specifically. York. I'm having one now, Grim Brewing. Sure. The other one is Evil Twin NYC. Mm-hmm. And I had a beer from Evil Twin NYC, which is so far my beer of the year.
Oh, wow.
And I think I talked to the captain about this a little. We didn't talk on air, but it's called Hygge.
Hygge.
Yeah. You have it in your fridge,
Beer Wonder,
I think.
I don't think I have any left in my fridge, but Beer Wonder, did you get me a 4-pack of that, or did I go there and get one myself?
I think you must have gone.
I couldn't remember.
I think that was the one that I picked up for you.
Okay. But I definitely went there and got that. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any left because it was so good.
Now, Hygge is a Danish word that sort of means some kind of joy. And this beer, it's 15% alcohol.
Oh, my.
They call it a black barley wine.
Wow.
And as soon as I tasted it, I was like, oh, my God. And I went to Spokeasy, and I saw the beer. And I was like, I have to have this. But I was like, well, I don't know if I want to drink the whole thing myself. So I shared it with the bartenders, and they were on the same page. They're like, wow, this beer. And I actually just bought one.
They said, this is Hygge.
It's Hygge. And so it's a great beer. Amazing, amazing beer. Another beer I had recently was from There Does Not Exist. They're New Zealand Pilsner.
Ooh.
And I almost had on the show today, but the maypole jumped the line.
Mm.
There Does Not Exist. I've had them before. They have a really cool, can art. And this one was called Metahuman.
Okay.
It's New Zealand style Pilsner. It's only 5.5%.
Woo.
The flavor, just the refreshing, and you get that hot, that tropical hoppiness that you get from New Zealand hops. Wow. Great beer. great beer. So I've been hitting, getting some really, really nice beers lately. And one that I had, another one that I had was from Grimm Brewing. I had it on draft. It's called Camoufleur.
Hmm.
It's a wild saison aged in oak barrels.
Oh, wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. It was like, it felt like it came from the rolling hills of some Belgian farmhouse, you know. Incredible beer. So I've been very lucky lately to get such good beers. You know, we're living in like I always say, the golden age of American beer. We're still in it, even though some breweries are starting to, you know, there are breweries that are closing, but, and we're shifting to just drinking flavored seltzers, but,
but someone has to represent for the beer, and that
for us beer heads, I think it's still going strong.
Yes, I would agree.
Here's I think the best analogy, or at least the analogy I come up with, so it has to be the best.
Please,
just the whole idea was there was definitely a giant boom,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and now that boom is sort of like ebbing a little bit, but where it has ebbed to is still way above the level from before it all started. Yes, so I think we're still doing pretty well.
Super strong. We've got about 9,000 craft breweries in the United States. So I think
that's acceptable.
Doing pretty well.
And we'll probably be doing just as well with 7,000. Not that we want 2,000 of them to go under, but like we're doing okay.
Well, there's new ones opening all the time too.
That's so true. That is very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are parts of the country that are like Spain where they're like 5 years behind. Texas is a place where they had some weird rules about opening breweries, and so they were a little bit behind, and now they're really opening a lot of breweries. So there's a lot of freshness going on. It's very exciting. Yes. Still an exciting time.
I
think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's like anytime there's a boom, it actually never necessarily always has to go to full bust, but boom and a little bit less.
Boom and gentle recline or decline.
Yes. I think there was an idea in the craft brewery scene in the late teens where it was like, we can only go higher.
Yeah.
Because it was still, as far as like the percentage of beer that is craft beer in the United States is still very small. So it was like, we can only get bigger. And then that wasn't necessarily the case. Of course, the pandemic, you know, threw everything off in every industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a reset happening.
Sure.
But I still think it's a real, real strong and.
Oh yeah. We are definitely in a golden age still.
Still in the golden age.
It's like, look at wine. I don't think wine ever feels like there are definitely some mass producers of wine. They're not necessarily on the level of beer, but I'm sure they still do better than smaller wineries. And no one's worried that the small wineries have to match, you know, the big mass producers. And I think, I think beer has a similar ecosystem.
Yeah, and since we're beer guys, we don't talk about wine. I mean, that could be like I'm sure somebody has a good wine podcast out there.
Yeah, we had someone a couple episodes who, what's her name? Cider Girl brought a wine a little while
ago. Yeah.
Well, that's right. That's right. But I think it is the golden age of American wine as well.
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, I didn't drink a lot of wine. But my parents would buy giant jugs of Gallo and...
Yeah.
And Paul Masson.
Well,
it's like, I don't know how good or bad these wines were, but it's so easy to get a really good wine at a low price right now in the United States.
Yeah, not as much as in Europe, but to be sure.
Of course, €3 for what was it? A bottle.
I mean, that Rome experience I was talking about. Like, I remember like my first night. First night I was in Rome when my dad and I were trying to, you know, didn't realize we had Wi-Fi, so we were trying to figure out our way around and got lost and trying to avoid jet lag and finally found our way back to our hotel. We had dinner at a hotel across the street and I got some wine and he got a Coke because he loved Coke. Coca-Cola. I should make sure I say that. Yeah. I don't want to sound bad. Like my dad was a fucking insane cokehead.
Was a cokehead.
No, he really loved Coca-Cola. And so I got a glass of red wine and he got a Coca-Cola and the wine was cheaper.
Of course.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the glory of European travel is like.
Yeah, sure is.
It's insane. It's ridiculous how inexpensive all that stuff is.
So I know probably with all that talk we had on the last episode about John Travolta and E.T. and whatever, you probably didn't get enough picks and pints. So I want to like sort of check into there.
Let's get back into it.
That's you know, the goods right there.
Talk about how I go to a lot of stuff at the IFC. I've also been seeing some of the Academy Award nominated. You know, I know now this is kind of old news. But I wound up going to see the animated shorts at the what's it called? The Brooklyn Place. The Double Windsor is the bar. But the Nighthawk? I went to the Nighthawk at
Nighthawk Park. Right. Yeah.
Went to there, and then a couple weeks later, or 1 week later, I wound up going to see the live action shorts, which were mostly about abortion and death.
Nice.
And the one that wasn't was the one that won.
Of course.
But good films all together. And so Beer Wonder and I met up. We were thinking about going to the Blind Tiger. I went there and had one beer, but ultimately we wound up going to Torch and Crown. Man, had some great beers there, didn't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's Torch and Crown. It's been a minute since I'd been there. I think maybe the last time I'd been was actually when all of us went together, right as we were coming out of the
pandemic. Really? Because I'd been there a few times since. That was the first time you'd been there since then?
I maybe have been there once or twice since, but the most present memory is when we all came back. It was one of the first like indoor dining, drinking, eating experiences I'd had coming back, which was pretty wonderful.
Yeah, because that was probably around, I'm going to say like April or May or June of 2021.
Yeah. We'd all just.
Yeah.
You just got your
shots. Vaccinated. Yeah. And we knew we could all hang out together safely. Yeah. And we knew we could do that. And it's funny to me, the beers were great. I'm so glad they brought back, was it Heavy Crown? Was that
the one. Yeah.
Oh, so good. Really. I think they did it better this year than they did last year at Torch and Crown. But it's really good. And the weird thing that I'm starting to notice, interestingly enough, cause you always think as steak as the most expensive thing anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got their hanger steak. And part of the reason I got it was because I like steak a lot, but it was also, it's like $5 less than the fish and chips.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It was wild. I was shocked that it was that.
Fish is getting expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you had there because it was just wild, but it was great. I mean, I was so impressed by them. And I had, if I'm not mistaken, I had their burger, which was outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just such a nice. It was just a nice evening, and it was also. I remember we should. It was. I think that was like a Monday or a Tuesday. It was sort
that
of.
That sounds
an
right.
Off
That's
day.
When I generally like to go to my movies.
Yeah, I think it was
like
a Monday
afternoon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a Monday, and so when we got there, it almost looked like the place was closed. And I was like, no, have we hit like another one of those things where like stuff closes on Mondays? But it was just a chill night of a bunch of people wanting.
Well, that was why I suggested maybe we shouldn't go to the Blind, because I was telling you to meet at the Blind Tiger, because I went there right after the movie, had a beer.
Right.
And I said, like, we should probably go to the other place because it was just, it was good. But I went back to Blind Tiger again a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I was going to see this really interesting Romanian movie called something like... The End of the World Is Not What You Expect, or something like that.
Okay.
It's all about a day in the life of a PA. But that barely...
Like a movie.
Like a physician.
Yeah, a woman who she's exhausted, she's overworked, she's doing all these errands, and in the midst of it, she's shooting these TikTok videos of her with this filter where she's doing this sort of like spoof account playing this toxic man.
Interesting. That actually sounds really fun.
The filter shows she's like bald and with a beard, and she's just like saying horrible, shitty things as if that, like, you know, as if she's like Andrew Tate's best friend.
Yeah,
right.
Because you know that's where he got arrested in Romania. And after that, before I went to see that, though, I was very careful because I knew this movie was close to 3 hours, and so I didn't want to overdo it, but I knew I was seeing it late enough that I probably wouldn't be able to go. So I decided to go to the Blind Tiger. And I went there and I'm just looking at the menu and I'm realizing the best place to do it is like over in that edge of the bar that you're not really supposed to have a drink at because it's mostly you can order there. And I'm there, I'm looking up the menu, figuring out what I want to have. And I hear this voice say, I know you.
Oh,
and I turn my head and it's our favorite bartender from the Pony Bar and original and also the Blind Tiger for a while. It's Susanna.
Oh, wow. So cool.
Yeah.
Gosh,
and it was
she?
Like it took me a couple of moments for my eyes to adjust. Because normally you see someone, or even though it's the location you've seen them in, you've never seen them on that side of the bar. I'm like, your face looks, oh, fuck, it's Susanna. How cool.
Yeah,
she's doing good. She was having some IPA that was like, I think it was a collaboration between the Blind Tiger and someone. Someone, I don't remember who, but anyways, it was KCBC. So we chatted for a while, and had a couple of really nice beers that one from a brewery I'd never even heard of, and I'll look it up in a second, but
nice.
But it was really great seeing her.
That's so cool.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And no disrespect to all of our other wonderful bartenders, in case you're listening to this, they don't listen to this show. But if you are, we love you too. But Susanna is kind of, she was like one of my very first mentors with craft beer. Because when I was going to the Pony Bar, when I was first learning about craft beer, she was the one who was there all the time. She got a real, as I was discovering what I liked, she was like latching onto that, always knew what to recommend. And so I didn't know if I'd ever see her again since she left that. She's a massage therapist now.
Ah, okay.
So it was cool to see her.
Right on. A friend of mine used to bartend there, Teresa. I don't know if you know her.
Oh. Well.
Oh, you know Teresa.
I don't think I do. No, I don't think I do.
She's a comedian, stand-up comic.
Ah, those are useful people to have in your world.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to like find, I can't find Susanna. Yeah, that's so cool.
I've looked for her. It was one of those things where it's just like at one point I was thinking like I should take a picture before we leave because you know Pixar didn't happen, but it was one of those situations where I was so caught up in the real world experience I just like I never found a good thing to like, hey, a selfie. Just didn't happen. But
that's me. I do that all the time. I'm like, I live my life on social media. Like I follow other people's stuff and then it's like, oh, let me get a picture of something. And like, we did it that one night we were together. We did a few pictures when the Beer Avengers were together, but
yeah,
we're not the best at that. Like,
I think we have to thank our time because we love the moment.
But I
also think we have to thank Cider Girl for that a little bit because she's a lot better than we are about saying, hey, let's do the picture. Let's get a photo.
She's very
good about figuring that shit out.
Speaking of which, I haven't seen one photo from España.
No, that's because he's the way we are.
But you're not really even on the socials right now.
Barely. I will occasionally. Yeah. Well, I believe it or not, I've deleted all of the apps from my phone.
I
has logged off of all of them except on my computer. So I have to be like sitting at my laptop to be on the socials right now. But yeah, I was just trying to live in the moment, but also just trying to like not do anything. I think the last time I posted something on Facebook for Pi Day, which is a joke for me always. And I do that annually, but yeah, I haven't posted anything on Instagram in forever. Speaking of, if people want to find the Beer Ventures on the socials, where should they find?
Oh, it's so fucking easy. It's so
fucking easy. How easy is it?
How easy could it be?
All you have to fucking do is fucking.
Fucking what?
I know you're always on me that we need to really earn our rating.
Well, we did have the whole bag of dicks thing. So
that's true. We did. I think we earned
it. Sure. Sucking, eating bags of dicks. .com. No, it's at thebeervengers.com. Just at thebeervengers on Instagram, Facebook, and fucking Twitter. Former whatever. If you do it, actually, honestly, don't look at us on Twitter because we probably won't see you because we never go there, but we still technically exist in the world of Twitter. Twitter. I don't know.
I think we Gram and Facebook more than anything else.
So. Sure, yeah. But you can also reach out to us at beerventures@gmail.com. We always respond to those.
Still? Do we TikTok still?
I mean, we exist there too, but not in a negative way.
Okay. I did delete the government TikTok off my phone, much like the Beer Wonder. So
yeah.
All right. It is interesting though, like, cause we did get a nice email recently from Zork and Sweetie.
That was lovely to say.
And they're coming up on their 100th episode as well. They're much more efficient about doing that and hopefully at least one of us, are going to be able to go meet them to help celebrate that.
Yeah.
Because Grimm has a rooftop now. Did you know that?
I remember they were, when we were last there, they were going to like do pizza.
Yeah,
on
we're
going to
have pizza. We're going to do the roof there. And we haven't been there since then. And
I know. Well, the last time we were brûléing our beers there, which honestly was an experience I would go back for. But
It was. But I also want to see the rooftop pizza with Zork and Sweetie. If any of the rest of us can make it, that'll be cool. And thank all of you out there for listening to us whether you're listening to us for 99 or listen to 9 or listen to for the first time. We're so glad you're here. I don't think we have a lot more to say today. So unless Beer Wonder, Huck, anything else besides playing us out needs to happen at this point?
I think we should tell the nice people who listen at home that they should come back anytime.
Come back anytime.
Oh, very
come
nice.
Back anytime. Yeah.
Anytime.
And that's a wonderful end to note it on. I said that wrong.
Huck, will you play us out?
Huck, play us out.
Oh, that was pretty.
We're the Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. Beer, 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 Beer Avengers. Beer, 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 Beer Avengers.
Oh, we're the Beer Avengers. Ha, ha, ha. Ha.